Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, May 7th. And the only Pistons podcast that will come to you live from Las Vegas. So remember that when you're telling your friends about your favorite podcast you listen to and spreading the word about Locked On Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out in Chicago covering the NBA, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life as well, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. I wasn't sure if I was going to record a Monday podcast this week, as like I said, I'm in Las Vegas getting ready for my flight back to Chicago this morning, but I'm up and I figured I'd come to you guys and kind of give us an update on where we're at with the NBA season and the weekend and how things went with the Pistons GT team as well, as they were in the first tournament for the NBA 2K League in New York City. So we're going to be recapping a crazy Saturday, uneventful Sunday kind of for the NBA playoffs. Look ahead to this week. We will have conference finalists soon. And it turns out, if you think about it, these were the four teams that we all picked before the season started that will be in the conference finals. None of those official yet, but all the other teams on the brink of being eliminated right now as well. And some of the big news over the weekend, the Knicks hired David Fizdale. That happened on Friday, but obviously we didn't have a podcast on Friday, so nothing's different about that from that time to now. So I figured we would use the recording that was sent along by James Marceda of Locked On Knicks. Obviously everyone's interested in the Knicks. They're New York City. They're a fascinating team, a bit of a train wreck sometimes, so we'll have a look at that. I'll consider kind of the ramifications for the Pistons, who are still in coach limbo as we speak as well. And then at the end of the show, I got a pre-recorded segment that we did the other day for the Pistons playoff playback, looking back to kind of a forgotten season of Pistons lore, kind of the post-championship going to work malaise and how they tried to resurrect the title-winning years to no avail one season back then. But like I said, I'm in Las Vegas with friends. I got my Vegas voice, as you can hear. Obviously, Kentucky Derby weekend, laid down some bets, a little bit lighter in the wallet, as you might expect, but maintained most of my dignity, so I'm pretty happy about that. But great times at the pool with some of my best friends, so good times were had by all. The Celtics earned a 101-98 win in overtime on Saturday against Philly, and of course then LeBron with the amazing game winner against Toronto later on in the night as well. We had a chance to watch some of those end of the Celtics game with the Derby coming on. If you ever need advice on who to bet on horses, don't ever ask me that. Obviously, we're just throwing darts at a dartboard at that point. And even NBA bets, shockingly, if you listen to the podcast, you might know that I was a little bit stubborn, threw a parlay together of Golovkin and his fight on Saturday night. I knew he would win, but then saw that the Celtics were underdogs by 9. I figured that was a pretty easy bet, and that turned out to be obviously a win as well. But the third part of the parlay, I doubled down on the Toronto Raptors and obviously needed to boost up the payoff a little bit there. So went with the money line on the Raptors. I don't know what to say. I mean, I picked before this series that the Raptors would win it in 5 games, and they're now on the brink of elimination. Really kind of a gut check for that organization at this point. Where are they going? I figured Dwayne Casey, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Cleveland is still not a complete team. They don't look like a team that has a championship chance, although obviously if LeBron James is on your side, you always have a chance. But we'll see. We'll see what these Cavs are able to do. They're going to go into the Eastern Conference Finals against a team in probably Boston, obviously, but certainly a team without its stars. And as crazy as it sounds, LeBron James might drag this team back to the Eastern Conference Finals, his own team, for the 8th straight year that he's going. And, I open up the Michael Jordan versus LeBron James debate again, as we always do every offseason. I don't have a lot of profound thoughts about that. Maybe we'll get into it this summer at some point, but Michael Jordan's Michael Jordan. The rings everyone brings up, but it's so impressive that LeBron, this is a lot like his first trip to the finals when they got beat up by the Spurs a little bit there, but just as far as the lack of supporting cast, just a memorable run that we will remember for forever. And yeah, he's probably got to finish the deal maybe one more time at some point, maybe a couple more playoff moments, but he is in the conversation, certainly. And I know if you listen to the show, that I'm more of a LeBron respecter than maybe some of the other people out there that won't even hear the Michael Jordan versus LeBron James argument. But it's certainly a discussion even at this point. But tonight we got the Celtics at Philly for a 6 o'clock start, early one there as well. Philly favored by 6.5, trailing 3-0. I got no read on that one. How do teams, especially young teams, react being at home and trailing a series 3-0? I mean, you could see them folding up the tent, but you know, who knows? They're the better team and talent wise, they should win. They absolutely should win. But that sounds like a lot of points for a young team with all sorts of adversity and a tough uphill climb ahead if they're going to try to get the win. And then LeBron going for the sweep tonight, 8:30 against the Toronto Raptors. Cavs favored by 5.5 in that one. Sunday, the Warriors won big, 118-92 over New Orleans, and the Rockets beat the Jazz, 100-87. Just wanted to spice up my Sunday a little bit as we were walking around, so threw down some money on the Jazz money line with the home court and figured, hey, maybe they'll make this a little bit of a series, but we know how that went as the Rockets took care of business and lead that one 3-1. Both those series 3-1 out west, and like we all kind of anticipated and like we all kind of hoped, I think in some ways, we're going to get the Rockets and Warriors in the Western Conference Finals and what should be a compelling one. And, you know, obviously the Western Conference champion will be a huge favorite going into the finals regardless of who the teams are, but some compelling conference semifinal matchups. I think that Boston and Cleveland could be a pretty even matchup, all things considered, given the obvious coaching advantage for Boston and the obvious best player advantage for Cleveland, and obvious, I would say, deeper roster for the Celtics, even though they're without their two best players. And that will be an interesting one to watch for sure. And, you know, it is a little boring seeing the Celtics and the Cavs again, but, you know, certainly none of those teams that were you know, knocking on the door of getting into the top of the Eastern Conference never didn't really live up to the billing, especially with those Raptors. And maybe we'll try to reach out to the Lockdown Raptors guys and see what they think maybe sometime this summer to a compelling team. That what do you do? Do you it actually, in a weird way, it reminds me a lot of the Pistons playoff playback we're going to be talking about today with the Raptors and the Pistons back then. Obviously, the Pistons got the title in 2004, so it's not a, you know, apples and apples, but You reach this point in a franchise where are we going? What are we doing? And I know it sounds silly for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and maybe the coach of the year in the NBA to think about blowing it up. But it better sometimes to do it a little bit too early than too late. And obviously I'm not saying a rebuild situation for the Raptors, but like a retool. Maybe having those two guys as your focal point, you know, do they play off each other really well? Does DeMar DeRozan, I think the three-pointers that he added, it's a little overblown. He's still not a three-point shooter. You know, maybe they look at that roster and feel like there's ways that they can make a change and get a whole new fresh perspective in there, because obviously the LeBron James situation is a thing for them. Maybe it has something to do with what LeBron James decides. If he stays in the Eastern Conference, maybe they make a move, and if he goes out west, maybe they see we can run it back with largely the same group. But like I said, silly to sound like you might want to make a change with such a very good team, but the Raptors might want to consider it, especially given that, you know, it's going to be a miserable season for fans next year to kind of have that inevitable back of their head feeling that the playoffs loom and LeBron James looms and there's nothing you can do about it. And even if you get those 50-plus wins again, you might not feel all that good about it. So an interesting offseason ahead. Like I said before the playoffs, the Pistons didn't make the playoffs. The Pistons are one of the only teams in the NBA who wasn't tanking who didn't make the playoffs. And a lot of people kind of alluded that as, you know, they're the worst situation in the NBA. But I think this playoffs are reminding us that there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking in the mirror this offseason, maybe more than you might have expected back in January and February. But there's a lot of situations out there that aren't great, and we will see how it all shakes out with the offseason creeping closer ahead as time rolls on here. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So if you want to find more, email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be looking back at the Pistons playoff playback. Since we can't live in the present with the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs, we will relive the past instead. And as mentioned, as you can probably hear in my voice a little bit, I'm in Las Vegas, and wanted to give a couple of recommendations while we're at it. Stay at the Aria. It's a great pool, good restaurants, everything you need in the resort there. We went to Javier's last night, a Mexican place that was solid, not too terribly expensive. Not as crowded as some of the other resorts and casinos that we went around all this weekend. The Cosmopolitan is right nearby. That seems to be kind of the new trendy spot these days. Real busy on Saturday night with all sorts of people all over the place. A little bit too much smoke, too. It's jarring to go to places that allow smoking, and obviously Las Vegas has it all over the place, and it's tough. One of my friends had allergy problems with it all weekend, but like I said, Cosmo seems to be the trendy spot these days. It used to be Rio way back when I was in college. Then it was the Hard Rock for a while, and then the Palms was kind of the trendier spot. And who knows what'll be next? But like I said, Aria got everything you need. Maybe a little bit more expensive than your average place. But if you can, I would recommend trying it here. And then we went up to Topgolf yesterday. It looks pretty great. Checked it out. Watched the Vegas Golden Knights finish off San Jose yesterday. The city's pretty excited about the Golden Knights heading to the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. And good for them, for an expansion team to be going there. We were talking about how crazy a parade would be if they ever won the Stanley Cup and had a parade down the strip. Maybe you should pre-plan a trip to make it for probably the wildest championship celebration, R-rated, possibly too, as well, that you could imagine. Excited to see how Topgolf goes over in the Detroit area when they open that up in Auburn Hills near Great Lakes Crossing later this year. And I also hear from my friends that have been here before many times that Wet Republic is the pool at MGM that you want to go to if you're looking for more of a wild time. We were at the Aria drinking the Aria Moscow Mules, or the Aria Mule. So I recommend that drink if you're coming over here to the Aria as well. But while in real life, some things that were happening outside of my trip to Vegas this weekend was that the NBA 2K League had their first tournament to start off the season this year. The Pistons GT team won 2 out of 3 of their games on Tuesday to qualify for Saturday's 8-team single elimination tournament, kind of the playoffs there for the tournament. So they, in the quarterfinal matchup, they got the Warriors gaming team on Saturday, and they won 61-47, 30-15 for first round pick Let's Get It Ramo, and 25 from Chris Dellarsipredi, or Insanity, as he had the appearance on our show last week and parlayed that into a 25-point performance. So obviously that's a sign that everyone who I ask should definitely appear on Locked On Pistons to give themselves a little bit of a luck. But then the Pistons G team then lost to the Philly GC in the semifinals, ending their run in the tournament 66-48. The 76ers then beat the Portland Blazers team in the finals to win that tournament. So going forward, they'll have the regular matches starting this weekend, Friday and Saturday, as kind of league play gets going. I've been looking around on the internet to try to find out some write-ups and how the league's going and all that stuff, and I recommend following a guy named Brian Mazik of Forbes.com. He seems to be the foremost journalist who's writing about the league and knows his stuff. He did power rankings after the tournament ended on Saturday and has a Pistons GT team slated at number 7 out of 17 teams in the power rankings. And this is what he had to say in his write-up. He said, aside from 76ers GC, this was the most surprising team of the tournament. They seemed to get better every game behind Ramo. I'm so far ahead in Insanity. I'm still not convinced they can be an elite team by the end of the season, but they have been proving my initial assessment of their roster wrong. Defense is the key, and using Ramo at center seemed to ignite his offense. So does that sound familiar? A disrespected team that relies on its defense. So I think that kudos to Adam Rubin and those guys for building a team that's maybe similar to the glory days of the Detroit Pistons in the past as well. So interesting to keep an eye on those guys. Glad to hear that they're a team that's playing defense, maybe a little bit tougher on the video games during the NBA 2K League as well. And we'll be interested to see how that one shakes out for them as the season rolls on. But the Knicks hired a coach, and here's James Marcita from Locked On Knicks with a reaction to the hiring of David Fizdale.
What's up, everybody? This is James Marcita, host of Locked On Knicks, with the breaking news that the New York Knicks have hired David Fizdale to fill their head coaching vacancy. The Knicks conducted a thorough search that saw them interview 11 candidates with a wide range of experiences coming from a wide variety of backgrounds. it was in stark contrast to the coaching searches conducted by Phil Jackson, who interviewed a small number of people that he had personal relationships with. The new front office of President of Basketball Operations Steve Mills and General Manager Scott Perry sent a strong message via this coaching search that we weren't going to see the same old dysfunctional Knicks at work. Now, full disclosure, David Fizdale was not my first choice. I preferred former Atlanta Hawks coach Mike Budenholzer, but David Fizdale is by all accounts a well-respected voice around the league and someone who clearly signals that the Knicks of 2018 are not the dysfunctional Knicks of yesteryear. He figures to modernize their offense, stress conditioning and fundamentals, and bring a championship mentality with him from his years as a Miami assistant. He's already been reported to be making plans to visit franchise cornerstone Kristaps Porzingis in Latvia, which is a welcome sign after he clashed with his previous superstar, Marc Gasol, in Memphis. It's a good start for a head coach that Knicks fans have every right to be excited for, and it was an excellent hire by the New York Knicks. I'm James Marcita, host of Locked On Knicks.
Well, what does this hire mean for Detroit Pistons fans? Well, obviously, possibly some stability down the road, a sleeping giant in the NBA's Eastern Conference that could maybe someday in our lifetimes get back to respectability. Nice to see that he's getting in touch with Porzingis to try to smooth things over from what's been a rough couple years. But although we know that Porzingis may not play for the first half of next season after the ACL injury he suffered that ended his season last year. Fizdale is another big-name coach that's off the market right now. You talk about Mike Budenholzer kind of being the top guy right now. I don't know if he ends up in Milwaukee. Becky Hammon interviewed there was one of the big stories of the weekend as well. I kind of see Budenholzer ending up in Milwaukee. It just seems like the obvious top candidate out there and the obvious top job out there as well. Seems like a fit from my perspective. But if you're a Pistons fan and you're waiting for Stan Van Gundy to get fired, I think that ship has sailed. It seems silly that now you would make the move on May 7th as David Fizdale is already off the board. Mike Budenholzer is probably close to a decision, or maybe he's made up his mind in his own head at this point, and to have a job become available and then settle for at least the second tier of candidates this offseason to even consider your job. And the Pistons' job is not a great one right now, obviously, with the 10 years of malaise that they've had, the lack of success. So, if you're waiting for Stan Van Gundy to get fired, for Tom Gores to eat a $7 million contract so that he can go hire some assistant coach that nobody's heard of, or a retread that's on, like I said, the second tier, I just don't see that that's going to happen at this point. But we're still waiting on the news from the organization. And I would think that they would want to get some sort of spin out there regarding him when they do decide to bring Stan Van Gundy back officially, and maybe detail what the new capacities will be for him if there are any changes to pass along there. But speaking of new coaches, new coach in Detroit, Locked On Lions, Matt Derry of Detroit Radio has all of that. Check that out every day at the Locked On Lions podcast. We got podcasts for all the remaining teams in the NBA playoffs as well, and also NFL teams and NBA teams and MLB teams as well. So check us out at LockedOnSports.com, the landing page for all the podcasts that come out for the Locked On Network, your team every day. It is now time for Pistons playoff playback. I'm taping this one back in Chicago before my vacation in Las Vegas, so not in the sunshine here for this one, but we're going back to 2007. The Pistons obviously won the championship in 2004, went to the finals in 2005, losing in Game 7 to the Spurs, went back to the conference finals, losing to Miami in 2006, and here we are in the present day of our look back in the past day. I guess this was year two of Flip Saunders as coach. The Pistons got the one seed after going 53-29 in the regular season and went up against Orlando in the first round in a series that I've completely blacked out of my memory. I can't remember this one. They beat Dwight Howard in his second year leading the Magic, along with Grant Hill, Jameer Nelson, Darko Milicic, J.J. Redick, and Trevor Ariza. And now as I mention that, I do actually remember this series a little bit, thinking back to my Port Huron days and remembering seeing some of these games on television. So yeah, Grant Hill, Jameer Nelson, Darko coming off the bench for the Magic, J.J. Redick, Trevor Ariza, before these guys really got it going a few years later and turned into a team that would make the NBA Finals against Kobe Bryant down the road. This was a team that was coached by Brian Hill, and the Pistons got a nice sweep there. So moving on to the second round, they went on to play the up-and-coming Chicago Bulls, the 5 seed. The Pistons were dead in the crosshairs of up-and-coming teams in the East like Chicago, in addition to Boston the following season. And then, of course, Cleveland and LeBron James were on their upswing right now. In the series, with game two or round two against Chicago, the Pistons would win easily in game one, setting the scene for game two. Game one featured a 12-point effort off the bench by Jason Maxiell, the rookie at the time. And mapping this one out, there's really no great reason for this game two to be included. I just needed one for that it was the anniversary of this date. And I thought it'd be a good reason to go back to, like I said, this kind of forgotten season until LeBron James obliterated the Pistons at the end of the Eastern Conference Finals. But on May 7th, 2007, game two at the Palace of Auburn Hills, Tayshaun Prince had 25 points and Rip had 24. Adding 22 points for the Pistons was starting center, not Ben Wallace, but Chris Webber, who was playing in his one season as a member of the Pistons. And playing for the Bulls that year in this series, starting at center, was Ben Wallace, playing for the Bulls against the Pistons in the 2007 playoffs. The Bulls also were led by Luol Deng, future Piston Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich, and future Piston assistant coach Malik Allen, who is now one of Stan Van Gundy's assistants. We'll see if he comes back next year. He came off the bench for the Bulls in that series. Not much drama in this game, a 108-87 victory for the Pistons. I'm trying to think back off the top of my head who the coach of the Bulls was at that time. I believe it was Vinny Del Negro. I will check that right now, actually, as we talk. Actually, I was wrong. It was Scott Skiles, as I did go back and check it. Not Vinny Del Negro. But the Pistons won this game 108-87, as I mentioned, and then they would go on to win Game 3 on the road in Chicago, effectively ending that series before they actually lost Games 4 and 5, setting up a little drama for Game 6, but the Pistons would go on the road to the United Center and win Game 6, wrapping up that series, making the Eastern Conference Finals for the 5th straight time. It would become a 6th straight time a year later against Boston, but there this season they would run into LeBron James, and we'll talk about that series in a few weeks here, or a couple weeks here, as the Pistons playoff playback rolls on. A game that is etched into the memory of NBA fans and Pistons fans is probably the day that the going to work Pistons died, even though they, like I said, they would go on to the 2008 Eastern Conference as well. This Bulls series, and like I mentioned, the Orlando series, a little bit of a forgotten series for me and a little bit of a forgotten year. I was already, at this point, the annoying friend by this time who was continuously talking about how the Pistons needed to package Tayshaun and either Rip or Rasheed, along with either a pick or well-regarded rookie Amir Johnson or maybe Jason Maxiell, to Minnesota for Kevin Garnett, who really wanted out of the Timberwolves at that time. They had bottomed out. They weren't even in the playoffs, and KG still had some gas left in the tank. And in retrospect, it turned out I was right, because that was the offseason that Garnett was traded to the Celtics for Al Jefferson, a few nobodies, and 2 first-round picks to the Boston Celtics, and they won the title after that with a rejuvenated and motivated Kevin Garnett, which is the move that I thought the Pistons should have made back then at that time. So give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give us a follow there. Check out the Facebook page. Give us a like at Locked On Pistons-MattSchoch. And check us out on iTunes by giving us a rating and review there as well. So thanks for joining me. I'll be back in Chicago, back at Mission Control for the podcast the rest of the week. And thanks for your patience, everyone. And we'll talk to you all later. Have a good one.